Welcome to the Otsumami Party Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Ian.
I'm Saya.
We both grew up in different countries. Where are you from, Saya?
I'm from Japan. Where are you from, Ian?
I'm from the US. In this podcast, we'll discuss fun little interesting things about vastly different cultures, daily lives living in different cities, and other fun interesting topics.
During our time together, we invite you to grab some otsumami or finger food of your own and join us for a fun, cozy time.
Enjoy! Hi everybody, welcome to Otsumami Party. How's it going?
Going good. How are you?
I'm doing alright. I didn't do jack today.
What do you mean jack?
Like I didn't do anything today. Like I didn't do jack squat. You could start saying that.
Jack squat.
Yeah. It got to the point where I was like sitting down and I was getting so bored, and so I went grocery shopping. And I got some food and, some stuff for dinner and some coffee. That was probably one of the biggest reasons for my boredom slash lack of energy this evening, was because I didn't have any coffee today. I ran out. So I went out and got some coffee. And now I feel fine.
That's good. That's good.
What did you do today?
I was just working. I was just working. I went out for lunch with my colleagues in a diner, like in an American diner in downtown Albuquerque, which is called Lindy's Diner. I heard it's closing because the owner is retiring. So we went there and tried out. I had a green chili cheeseburger, which was pretty good.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I was really full afterwards, though. It was, like, kind of interesting because it was my first time seeing the melted cheese in a cup, like a little cup.
Oh, really?
With a plate, yeah. So, like, you know, just as you see in the advertisement or something, like, it was really melting. And then, like...
That's cool.
It's kind of cool. And then it's so creamy, probably like a cheddar kind of yellow cheese. And then they also put a bunch of pickles and french fries too on the plate. Yeah. And then like some, you know, lettuce and tomato slice and onion slice. So like basically like in the hamburger itself has patty and the green chili, like roasted green chili. I don't think it had a cheese in it yet. Yeah, so like that was it. So maybe you liked it, I think, because you know, you always take out the old veggies and then like separate them first, right? So it was already separated, and then like you just put it as you go, kind of.
I see.
And then, yeah, you got a cup full of cheese, like liquid cheese, which is a little interesting, but it was good.
You mentioned that cheeseburger looked like something from a commercial, right?
I mean, like the cheese. Yeah.
Right. Did you hear what they do to food to make it look so delicious on commercials?
No.
So, okay, let's take IHOP, for example.
Okay.
On their commercials, their pancakes look so delicious and so fluffy and so, like, fresh. But what they do, instead of, like, making actual pancakes, well, they make the actual pancakes, but instead of, like, pouring real syrup all over it and stuff like that, if they do that, then the pancakes will absorb the syrup and it wouldn't look so good.
Yeah.
So they found out that engine oil isn't absorbed. So they pour engine oil, like car oil, all over it. And to keep the pancakes super fluffy, they put little bits of cardboard in between each of them. So it looks like really tall. And then they pour the engine oil all over it. And then for the butter, they use like Play-Doh or something. Something that wouldn't melt.
What? I mean, that makes sense because it's going to take a while to photoshoot a scene.
Right, so. But it's so like...
But still, it's so fake.
It looks so delicious, but in reality, it would taste so bad and probably kill you if you ate it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then I heard that ice cream, they use like Play-Doh or something like that. Or no, what did they... Did they use glue or something? I don't know. They use like Play-Doh for ice cream, and then something is used. Oh, I think for melted cheese, they use like glue or something.
Wow. I hope mine didn't have glue. It doesn't taste like a glue.
But it felt like it had glue, I'm sure. You're a glued person. Yeah. They gotcha. No, but I found that little bit of information pretty interesting.
Yeah, there was one of the popular Japanese souvenir in Tokyo is like the food samples.
Mm.
You know, like in the old style restaurant, like in Japan, they usually have the glass wall at the entrance and they showcase their food, like spaghetti, salad, like with a fake food.
Mm-mm.
But that looks pretty real.
Yeah.
And then like, it's like made out of like,
it's like wax.
Wax, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of thing. And then, like, how you make it is kind of fun. I've never done it, but I know there's, like, some tour kind of thing that you can try.
Mm.
And it looks really cool, actually.
I want to go to a wax museum.
Ah, is that the place, like, all the celebrities and stuff are made out of wax?
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if Albuquerque or Philadelphia has one.
Maybe.
If that's the case, we should both go when we visit.
Yeah, I feel like New Mexico could have one because, like, there's a bunch of film location in New Mexico.
Mm.
And, like, a lot of...
Yeah, you live down the street from one of the Breaking Bad houses, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's cool. The big studio in New Mexico has filmed, like, Marvel movies and, like, all different kinds. But they are not available for, like, normal people. It's not open to public. That's the word I was...
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
I was like, who are they available to? Aliens?
Yeah.
Well, New Mexico is well known for aliens.
Roswell, yeah.
Yeah, Roswell, and now with the new talk about the government coming out and saying that it's all true, it's like freaky. Have you heard about that?
No.
They had a meeting.
Oh.
On November 13th, and it was basically the government saying, yeah, it's true, and aliens live in our ocean. It's like really weird. I don't know how to believe that, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's the government, which you could go one of two ways. You could either say it's the U.S. government, so is it true or not? But you could also say, well, it's officially the government, so it could be true. So who knows?
Yeah. You know, I've been watching like Marvel movies and like Thor's hammer came down to New Mexico. And it was kind of thing. So like now I'm thinking like it could be true. They're like trying to, you know. Like not make people panic, so they're just saying like kind of, and they're like actually walking on it. Avengers are coming.
This whole alien talk could be a whole episode in and of itself. Yeah,
totally.
It could be a whole episode, so it might be a whole episode. I don't know, it might be my next topic, who knows. But it's a very interesting turn of events recently. I'll send you some of the videos. I think we should take a break and head to the word of the day.
Good.
Before we start, I wanted to say a couple things. The first, please don't forget to email us at otomomiparty@gmail.com if you have any topics you would like us to cover. Or you can click the link down below and we have a Google form where you can fill it out and send it in. We'll get your message just like an email, but it's made easier. So just go down there, click, and fill it out, and we'll get your message, and we'll read it at this portion of the podcast in future episodes. Next, if you would like to support us, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/OtsumamiPAA. That is OtsumamiPAA. Our Instagram page is now currently being updated, so it is unavailable, and we will make sure to let you know our new handle once we got it up and running. Now, let's go to the word of the day. All right, what you got for me?
So the word for today is irusu.
Irusu. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, something about squirrels?
No, squirrel is risu. Yeah.
Yeah, risu, not rusu. Got it.
Yeah, it's a rusu. So rusu, technically, like rusu itself means being absent at home. So like, you left home and that means rusu, right?
Okay.
So like, for example, you could say rusuban means like the person... Or like the task that you are house sitting on the day, kind of. So like, you know, your mom could say like, can you just do Lusuban today while I'm going to like grocery shopping?
House sitting, yeah.
Yeah. And then the kids I mean, in Japan, it's totally fine. Kids being alone in the house.
Sure.
So with other parents. So like that's kind of thing is Rusuban. So Rusu means that. But Irusu, like E kanji character for that one, is meaning that you stay, like you're there. So okay. Technically means like you're there, but Rusu. So that means it's pretending you're Rusu, like you're absent.
Ah, so if somebody comes even knocking though, at your door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
But you don't want to go out. You just stay quiet in there and then just wait for the person to pass. And
interesting.
Leave. Yeah. So
I do that all the time. Especially if I'm getting like something delivered to my door. I pretend like I'm not. So if I get something at the door,
mm-hmm.
I get so excited or so like impatient that I wait by the door. Mm. But when the person knocks, I like pretend I'm not waiting by the door. Eventually they set it down and leave.
Right.
Is that same as Irusu?
Yeah, technically. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But like originally means somebody knocks you and they're like, hey, are you there? Or, you know, like somebody is visiting you. And then, like, you kind of know the person is there, but you didn't want to talk to them or any reason, for any reason. So you just stay there and be quiet.
Do you do that a lot in Japan?
Not that I could think of. I mean, like, it's usually just a person, like, who delivers to me. Yeah, sometimes, like, I do if some neighbor's coming and then, but I need to go or like I don't have energy to interact with.
Mm.
I would just like stay quiet and pretend I'm not there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Is there a word for doing that but with a text or a call or something? Because I do that sometimes with my calls.
Yeah, I feel like there is, but I can't think of. No, I feel like we just say ignore it.
Mm. Okay.
Wait a sec. Can I just Google?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, probably is an old word, but came across something. Irusu den. Denwa is like the telephone in Japanese, but I've never heard of that. Somebody using it.
Got it. I think it's funny because oftentimes in these episodes, you and I have words that kind of relate to each other.
Really?
Yeah. And my word is called absquatulate.
What?
Absquatulate.
Absquatulate.
Yes. And that means to suddenly leave.
Oh, interesting.
So you are saying that you aren't answering the door because you don't want to deal with people. And I'm saying I'm at a party suddenly absquatulating because I don't want to deal with people.
I see. So you're going to just suddenly leave.
Yes.
Ah, that's interesting.
Well, absquatulate does mean to suddenly leave, but it usually means to leave and take something with you.
Okay, for example.
So like, let's say that the police are looking for a murderer.
Okay.
Okay. And then they found where that person is located. And the murderer who's in hiding knows that the police is coming. So they absquatulate with the murder weapon or the evidence.
I see.
Yeah. I looked up on Merriam-Webster.com and the sentence that they use is the cashier absquatulated with the funds. Or like the money from the cash register.
Right, yeah.
So it has several meanings, but it looks like that the typical meaning is to leave with something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
But on a basic level, it means to suddenly leave, like abruptly.
Mm.
So I guess it could mean that you absquatulate a party where you don't want to deal with people.
Right.
Only if you steal that person's household items. I don't know. No, I'm joking. But yeah, that's my word. I chose it because I really liked the way it sounded. Absquatulate.
It's such a tongue twister.
See, I thought so at first, but being a native English speaker, it rolls off my tongue so easily.
Really?
When I looked at it, I was like, absquatulate. Oh, absquatulate.
Absquatulate.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it might be easier for me to see the words and then say it. I don't know.
Yeah, it helped me to break it down. Absquatulate.
Yeah.
Like the syllables.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we need to play Poetry for Neanderthals again.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like the whole week after we played that, we were all talking in one syllable words. Guys, if you have not seen Poetry for Neanderthals, the board game, could you really call it a board game? The card game?
Yeah.
The it's group a party game? I don't know. Yeah, party game. Thank you. Look it up online. It's very funny.
Mm.
But anyway, that's what I have. Absquatulate. And yours, Irisu.
Irisu. Yeah.
Not Irisu. That means the squirrel stays home. And right. Yeah.
Okay, that'll be cute, but...
that'll be cute. Anyway, let's move on to our topic for today.
Sounds good. So imagine this. You're in a crowded cafe, and across the room, you see someone scribbling a note, passing it to a friend.
Scribbling a note?
Yeah.
Okay.
The note seems harmless, just some words on the page. But then you notice something strange. The letters are jumbled. They don't make sense. In fact, you can't make any sense of them at all. But to the person who receives it, it's a message. It's a secret message.
Mm.
So this not spy movie trick. It's a method as old as written language itself. It's a cipher, a form of encoding a message so that it's unreadable to anyone who doesn't have a key to unlock it. For example, UIFTFDSFUDPEL. It looks nonsense, but if you shift each letter one place forward in the alphabet, you get the secret code.
Mm.
So, it's a basic cipher known as a Caesar cipher, named after Julius Caesar, who used it to protect his military communications. This is just one example of the countless ways humans have hidden their most important message throughout the history. So today, I am going to introduce a brief history of cryptography.
Oh, that's so cool. So growing up, I was obsessed with secret languages and all that. And I even wrote my own writing system. I mean, it's English language, of course.
Yeah.
But I made up my own letters and it actually looked pretty cool. I wonder if I still have it. But
yeah, I used to do that too. We used to do that like as Japanese, like, you know, you use hiragana, kanji, and katakana in the letters, but like sometimes, like, you just write it down with only kanji character just for the sound.
Yeah.
And right. Then, like, just, like, looks a little complicated, but, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, those things that we did when I was a kid. So, our journey begins in the ancient world, long before computers or digital encryption.
Hmm.
The first real step into the encryption came with the Spartans.
Hmm.
You do know that?
Yeah, I do. Have you ever seen the movie 300?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's a good movie.
So they used a device called a Skytall, a tool that wrapped a strip of parchment around the cylindrical object. The letter would only appear legible when the parchment was wound around the cylinder of the same size. So it was a clever way to communicate in the world where secretly could mean the life or death. At the first forward to Middle Ages, encryption was becoming a game of survival, as kings, generals, and spies fought for control of their kingdoms, and they needed a stronger method to protect their most sensitive messages. The Caesar cipher became the go-to method for the secret writing. Simple but effective, and it shifted each letter in the alphabet by the certain number, usually three. So A became D, B became E, and so on. But as encryption grew, so did the need for the better system. And soon we'd see the cryptographic arms race, where the key to victory wasn't just a message, but having the means to keep it locked tight. Now let's jump forward to Renaissance, when the cryptography evolved into something even more sophisticated. Leon Battista Alberti, a renowned Italian humanist, created the Polybius Square, a cipher that used a grid of letters and numbers to encode messages.
What is this called again?
Polybius Square. P-O-L-Y-B-I-U-S Square.
Oh, Polybius. I think I'm familiar with this.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah, so he also developed the first cipher disk, a tool that allows for more complex encryption by rotating one alphabet against another. But the real breakthrough came during the World Wars, where the cryptography became a weapon. The Enigma machine used by Nazi Germany during World War II is perhaps the most famous example. It seems unbreakable, and the Germans believed no one could decode their messages, but they underestimated the power of human ingenuity. At Bletchley Park, UK, a group of mathematicians and code breakers led by Alan Turing cracked the Enigma code. So this achievement didn't just change the course of the war, it laid the groundwork for the modern computing and cryptography.
That's very cool. Do you remember a few episodes ago I talked about J.R.R. Tolkien? I think it was him who was drafted by the war, World War II, I believe, as a cryptographer, but was never, like, used. Like, he was called in, but he never had to do anything.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very interesting how things link up.
Yeah. And, you know, here we are today, and in digital age, cryptography is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Securing our emails, bank transactions, and even the messages we send to our friends. The rise of the internet created an urgent need for the robust encryption systems, and one of the most important advancements was public key cryptography. This system allows people to send secure messages without ever meeting in person, using two keys, a public key, which everyone knows, and a private key, which only the recipient has. So yeah, that's the brief history of cryptography until today.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So recent years, we all know that we need to use a password. Like Google asks you to change your password all the time. Apple asks you, and you know, if you need a VPN, you need a one-time passcode or that kind of things. But here's some like secret code that used in our daily life that you may know or may not know.
Okay.
So the few one, the one of that is 1033. So do you know 10 code? So the 10 code is the, I think it's in the States, the police officer uses
as a code. Yeah. 10-4.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 10-4. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But if you hear a police officer saying 10-33, there is a police emergency underway.
Oh.
Sound like some kind of emergency happening. Yeah.
What does 10-4 mean?
10-4 means affirmative or acknowledgement of message.
I see. 10-4, over. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sound like copy, kind of. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So here's a few other things. So code 10, this could be hospitals, and you know, this code may different, you know, different associations, different places, you know, but here's just an example. But code 10 in hospital can use it to signal a serial threat or mass casualties happens in the hospital.
Oh.
Or if a store cashier issues a code 10 authorization request while you're checking out, it means that she's suspicious of you or your card.
So that's 10 what?
No, it just says code 10.
Oh, so you just say on the thing.
Code 10 or, over. Yeah, oh, probably.
Okay. And so what is this system called?
What do you mean system?
Like the system of like using 10-4, 10-33, 10...
Oh, that's only for police. So if the police officer using the 10-4 or 10-something, that's for the police. And this one is code 10.
Oh, okay, I see.
10
I see.
Codes, yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So this is something that you don't want to hear, but...
Okay.
If your pilot say, oh, a signal to say, or the signal this number, 7,500, like 7,500.
Oh, it means
the plane has been hijacked.
I see. So I've been looking up a lot of like famous plane emergencies, and it's helping me like get over my recent fear of, I don't know, my fear of
flying. Is it helping?
It is helping.
Okay.
Because like I used to be great at flying, like up until like this or like last year, even the beginning of this year, I started developing my anxiety of flying, but I've flown a lot of times prior to that. And I don't know why it's recently whatever. But anyway, I've been watching a lot of like plane emergencies and plane crashes from the view of the pilot.
Oh, wow.
And the pilot explains like everything that went wrong and everything that could have been prevented and everything, you know, like helping us understand why the plane crashed rather than, oh, well, the plane just dropped out of the sky. No, it didn't. There were a long series of things that led up to this. And that's what helps me. But, you know, that they use codes, like you said, to signify emergencies. And the one that I know is 7700. Which means like a general emergency.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So like I knew that from those videos that I've been watching. Not the 7500, but the 7700.
Yeah. This is probably something familiar, especially for if there's a Japanese listeners. It's a hospital code, but code blue. So code blue generally means someone has gone into cardiac arrest.
Yeah, okay.
So like all of the doctors available needs to come and help kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a Japanese drama, like a medical drama called Code Blue. It's about the doctors and nurse of the doctor helicopter, like an emergency,
a
helicopter version, like ambulance.
Yeah, right.
Thing, but yeah, they do a lot of things with the helicopter. Well, that drama became like super popular in Japan, and that significantly like increased the amount of the helicopters that each hospital has all over Japan, which is incredible.
Yeah. It's amazing that a drama can do that.
Yeah, I know. And like, there's a bunch of like in my generation, like who grew up with that. Like many people like love that, and then like so many people were inspired by those nurses and doctors. So it's just cool. I think like my mom, when I wasn't hospitalized, my mom was like in the lobby, and then like she said like, I just heard Code Blue. So it's real.
So it's popular because of that drama.
Yeah,
like Code Blue is like well known because of that drama.
Yeah, as a word. Okay. But the Code Blue itself means that somebody is emergency, like cardiac arrest.
Right. I was just confused at first why you said listeners. No, it's not your fault. I was just making sure I understood correctly. That's crazy. Yeah, so popular ones that we hear a lot are 10-4, which is why I asked what that meant. And then I think I've heard Code Blue before, but I don't know if it was cardiac arrest or not. but for some reason, I might be confusing it with Code Red, which means like emergency.
Yeah, there's another hospital one. It's called Silver. Which is building has a person with a weapon or like hostage situation or like another kind of violent situation.
I see.
Code Oscar is not
code
anything.
Oscar?
OSCAR? Nothing to do with Academy Awards.
Yeah.
But this is used on the ships to indicate a man overboard.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Do you know like why each system chooses what they do? Like why code 10 or 10 code or whatever it is uses 10, and why blue, why Oscar, why... I see.
Okay, so those are emergencies. Yeah, so those are like fun, but like something that you don't want to hear, right? So I found something a little more fun. It's basically in Japanese department store, like a mall or department store situations, there's some like a secret codes for them, like for the staff. So in the department announcement, sometimes like, you know, the lady from Tokyo or like Fukuoka City, your husband is waiting at this place because they just couldn't contact each other. Right, like they do you have those kind of like
over the intercom, especially in Walmart with parents,
right
children.
Those kind of things, right?
Yeah,
so they have like intercom and they can do the announcement. So If you hear the Mr. or Miss Yamada coming from Itami, please come to the like third floor ladies' clothes area. Your, you know, partner is waiting for you or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but right. That technically means if somebody says like you're from Itami, that is a place, that's a location, like a name of the place. But Itami, so the place is said Itami. But like in another way, you could say itami. That means like pain in Japanese.
I didn't hear any difference.
Yeah, it's just a little intonation difference. Itami. Mm. So that's pain, like associate with the word of like complain. So that means there is a customer who is complaining a lot and that the staff can't handle and then needs like a higher staff. And that's happening on the third floor of the women's clothes, and then the person's name was, let's say, like Mr. Yamada, what's called. So probably the Mr. Yamada is like the higher person, like a higher staff, so that he could help out. So they're calling for the help without, you know, alerting other customers.
Yeah, okay. And more importantly, probably without alerting the person who's in trouble.
Oh yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's something. Or another thing is sometimes you hear the music in the department store, right?
Mm.
If there's a certain music means something.
Oh.
So if
I wonder if that's the case in America.
I know. Like I was trying to find that too, but like I couldn't find anything. But I hope you can hear this and I hope you can insert the music too. So if you hear this one.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again.
Coming out in Japanese department store, that means it started raining. Because, you know, all of the stuff is obviously inside of the mall. So, like, you don't know the weather outside. But the staff needs to know outside is raining because they need to put the plastic bag over the customer's paper bag that they buy some table, you know? I don't know if those services are a thing in the States, but
no one could care any less in the US. It's like, good luck!
Yeah, but in Japan, it's a typical thing, you know?
Yeah, of course, of course.
So they put the plastic bag over that and so, yeah, the staff can know. On the other hand, if you hear this one.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
So, let me guess. Can I guess it?
Mm-hmm.
It means the storm has passed.
Right. So the rain is out.
Cool.
So, so you don't need to put the plastic bag anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And what I find even more interesting is that the songs chosen are from like old American movies.
yeah.
Not Japanese.
Right. Thing,
but
yeah, that's interesting. Another one. I don't think like everything gets this case. Like all of the department stores is the case. But if you hear this one.
I'm on the top of the world.
That means they already achieved the goal for the day, like for the sales. Yeah.
Another old American hit?
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So those are the secret codes that you may find.
Secret codes in Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In America, we don't have those that I know of. I mean, if we do, they're doing their job. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I think we should get off for the night. It's getting late.
Yeah. Why don't we like make a code for that? Like, probably the time, but we don't want to say goodbye to them like directly.
Or we could say, the mouse is out from its hole.
What does that mean?
It means it's time to end. I don't know.
I was more thinking like, it's time to grab another beer or something.
Maybe instead of beer, we could just say, I need another drink.
Yeah.
It's time to get another drink.
Yeah. It's time to get another drink.
Well, it's time to get another drink.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see you in the next episode. Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to our podcast. We get our publicity mainly from word of mouth, so make sure to tell your friends about us. If you have something you would like us to talk about, or just want to say hi, you can send an email to otsumamiparty@gmail.com. That is otsumamiparty@gmail.com. And please sign the email with the unique username.
Please let us know what you think of the podcast and where you are tuning in from as well, and we may mention it in our next episode. Tune in next week.
See ya.